You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, number 59. This is English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, episode number 59. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in the beautiful city of Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to talk about the police in the United States, how they are organized. We are also going to talk about one of the most popular television shows of the last 15 years, in the U.S., The Simpsons. And as usual, we'll answer some questions. Let's get started. If you visit our website at eslpod.com, you will get a list of all of our previous podcasts. We have more than 250 podcasts for you to listen to, so be sure to go to our website. You can also get on our website a copy of the learning guide for this episode, which contains all of the words that we use, sample sentences, additional explanations, and a complete transcript of this episode. Our first topic today is going to be the police. The police, P-O-L-I-C-E, is a general term that we give to people who work for the government and are involved in what we would call law enforcement. To enforce, E-N-F-O-R-C-E, means to make someone do something, to force someone to do something. So when we say law enforcement, we mean that these are people who get people to follow the law, follow the legal restrictions, the legal rules of the state or of the country. The U.S. has lots of different police structures, lots of different types of police. In some countries, the police is all part of one big organization. But in the United States, because we have a tradition of each state having some independence from the other states, there are several different levels of police officers. There are federal police, although we don't normally call them police. We would say federal law enforcement. And these would include people like the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the FBI. The FBI is famous in the movies. If you watch American movies, these are the government police officers, sometimes called the G-men. The G, as in the letter G, men, which refers to government, the G of government. So these are the government police officers. They're the federal government police officers. So they are in charge of certain types of crimes that are on a national level. There are many other types of law enforcement officers at the national level. There are the people who guard the border patrol, they are called. The people who enforce drug laws, there's a special police force called the Drug Enforcement Agency. And these are all groups that can arrest people. And that's really what a police officer is, someone who can arrest you and put you in jail to arrest, A-R-R-E-S-T, means to put someone in jail, to say that they have done something wrong. I've been using this term officer, O-F-F-I-C-E-R. That's just a word we use to describe a man or a woman who works usually for a police organization. Each state also has its own what we would call police force. A police force, F-O-R-C-E, is a noun, which means the group of police officers, the group of law enforcement people. Many states have their own police force. Sometimes these are called state troopers, T-R-O-O-P-E-R-S. A state trooper is a police officer who works for the state police force. We also have county police officers in the United States. Every state is divided into smaller areas, smaller regions, which we call counties in most states. In Louisiana, the counties are called parishes. But in all of the other states, we call them counties. And the county has its own police force. And if there are cities inside the county, many times the individual city will have its own police force. So you could have a state police officer, a county police officer, and a city police officer. And each of those different levels is responsible for different areas and for different things. There are even more police forces in certain areas. In California, for example, the airport has its own police force. The universities, the public universities, have their own police force. The transportation system here in Los Angeles has its own police force. If you watch American television and movies, you will often see certain terms used in describing the police. The most common informal term is cops, C-O-P-S. A cop is a police officer. It's an informal term. There's actually a popular television show about police officers called cops. Another term that you will hear is a squad car. A squad, S-Q-U-A-D, car, C-A-R, two words, is the car that the police officer, the regular police officers in a city or in a county, drive. These are sometimes called black and whites, because the traditional color for these cars is black and white. So a squad car is a car that the police use. Each police force in a city, like Los Angeles or New York City, is broken down into what are called precincts, P-R-E-C-I-N-C-T-S. That's just a smaller part of the city that you have one police officer station or building that's responsible for that area. Finally, one thing that you will often hear in American movies and TV shows is something that is called the Miranda warning. The Miranda, M-I-R-A-N-D-A, warning. Miranda was the name of a court case. And this warning is what police officers have to give people that they arrest before they arrest them. And it is essentially telling you what your legal rights are. The standard Miranda warning is, you have a right to remain silent. meaning you have a right not to talk. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So anything that you say to the police officer, like, I'm guilty, or I did it, that can be used in your trial. Your trial, T-R-I-A-L, is when you go before the judge in the court. The Miranda warning typically continues, you have the right to speak to an attorney. An attorney is a lawyer. So you have a right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. This means that if the police are asking you questions and you are being arrested, you can say, I want a lawyer. And they cannot ask you any more questions until they get you a lawyer. The warning finishes by saying, if you cannot afford a lawyer, if you don't have money for a lawyer, one will be provided for you at government expense. In other words, if you are poor and you do not have money for your own lawyer, the government will give you a lawyer for free. Those lawyers are called public defenders, lawyers that try to help people who are arrested who don't have money for their own lawyer. So that's a Miranda warning, and you'll see it in lots of different shows and movies. You have a right to remain silent, is how it begins, and that's the most famous line from the Miranda warning. Well, our second topic has nothing to do with the police. It is the most popular, or one of the most popular, television programs of the last 15 years in the United States. You may have seen it or heard of it. It's called The Simpsons. And The Simpsons is an animated series. Animated, A-N-I-M-A-T-E-D, is the same as a cartoon. So The Simpsons is a cartoon. It's a cartoon that many adults like to watch. Both children and adults like to watch this cartoon. Some of the jokes are very simple that children can understand, and some of the jokes are more complicated, are a little higher, and those are ones that adults would enjoy. The Simpsons is what we would call a satire. A satire, S-A-T-I-R-E, is when you use jokes, when you use humor to criticize something or to show the problems with something. Satire is often political. Political satire is when you use jokes or humor to criticize a politician or the government. But satire can also be what we would say social. Social satire would be criticizing the way people live or the way people act. And The Simpsons is a satire on sort of a typical American family, what some people might describe as middle America. Middle here means typical or average. The Simpsons are a family that live in a town, a made-up town, a fictional town called Springfield. Springfield is actually a very popular name for towns in the United States. At least 30 states have a city or town named Springfield. Springfield, Illinois is perhaps the most popular, and that is the capital of the state of Illinois. So Springfield is not a real place. It's considered a typical American town. And the whole show is about the life of this family. And it is, again, a traditional family. There's a mother and a father. There are three children. The father's name is Homer, H-O-M-E-R, which is also the name of the famous Greek poet that we think wrote the great poems of ancient Greece, the Iliad and the Odyssey. But Homer is not as smart as the ancient Greek Homer. Homer is not very smart. He's a nice guy, but he's not very intelligent. He works at a nuclear power plant. A plant is, in this case, a building that makes power, generates, we would say, power by using nuclear energy. And so there are lots of jokes about his job. His wife is a typical housewife. She doesn't have a job outside the home normally. She works at home. And then there is the most famous character, Bart. And Bart is a 10-year-old boy who gets into lots of different types of trouble. So if you have a chance to see The Simpsons, it's a very funny show. There are several phrases and expressions from the show that have become popular in regular conversation. The most famous one is an expression that Homer uses. He's the father of the family. When he makes a mistake or does something stupid, he'll hit himself on his head with his hand and say, "Don't." We spell this either D apostrophe O-H or just D-O-H. And so that is a famous expression now in English. A couple of other expressions that are also from this program that are popular. One, which is kind of old now, but it was popular in the 90s, was an expression that Bart used, "Don't have a cow." Don't have a cow, man. The expression "don't have a cow" is an old one, and it means don't get upset, don't get excited, don't get angry. Usually you say that to somebody who is getting angry or getting excited about something more than you should. It's an informal expression. You would not want to say that to your boss. Don't have a cow, man. That may get you a new job. Now, let's answer a few questions. Our first question today comes from Atsushi, A-T-S-U-S-H-I, in Japan. The question, first question is, the meaning of the expression, "it's going down." What does "it's going down" mean? Normally, that's an expression that you would use when you were describing or talking about something that is illegal, something that is against the law, like buying drugs, for example, illegal drugs. When that event is happening, when that's something that is going to happen, you could say it's going down or it's going to go down in the future. Here, going down means happening, but usually something that is illegal, something that is against the law, a crime. The other expression Atsushi had as a question about is a word, kind of an odd word, but one that you will see now, and it is QWERTY, Q-W-E-R-T-Y. QWERTY is not exactly a common word. It's a word that we use now because it describes the keyboard, the letters and numbers that you use to type on your computer is called a keyboard. It describes a kind of keyboard in English that is a complete keyboard. On many small cell phones, you don't have a complete keyboard. You have only a certain number of buttons, and each button or each key has two or three letters, and you have to press them until you get the right letter. A QWERTY keyboard is a complete keyboard. One of the more popular types of personal phones that people have is called a BlackBerry. And a BlackBerry is a company that makes a little phone that you can send and receive email on. And the phone has a complete keyboard on the bottom. And it's called a QWERTY keyboard because the keyboard in English, the first six letters are QWERTY for the top row on the left-hand side. It's a word that describes a complete keyboard that you would find, for example, on a small phone, like a BlackBerry phone. Our next question comes from Alexandre, Alexandre, in France. The question is about the expression, can't help but. For example, if someone says, I can't help but laugh when I see The Simpsons. When I watch The Simpsons, I can't help but means it is impossible for me not to do something. I have to do it. I cannot stop myself from doing it. Usually we use this expression when you don't want to do something, or perhaps you shouldn't do something, but you do it anyway because it is impossible for you to stop. It is impossible for you to resist. You see somebody fall on the street. You may say, I couldn't help but laugh when he fell. So that would be a use of that particular expression. Our final question comes from Jihai, J-I-H-A-I, not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I apologize, from Japan. And the question, two questions really. One has to do with the expression, a stolen glance. A stolen, S-T-O-L-E-N, glance, G-L-A-N-C-E, two words. A glance is when you look at something very quickly. Stolen comes from the verb to steal, which means to take something from someone that doesn't belong to you. To steal someone else's thing is to take it from them. The expression a stolen glance means that you look at something quickly, but you are probably not supposed to look at it, or you don't have permission to look at it. It's very similar to the verb to peek, P-E-E-K. To peek means to look at something quickly. Stolen glance is a similar expression. Our last term is witchcraft, W-I-T-C-H-C-R-A-F-T. Witchcraft, all one word, has to do with magic. A witch is a woman who performs magic. If you think of the movie Harry Potter, there are witches in the movie. And witchcraft is just another word for magic, the kind of magic that a witch would do. Well, we hope that we have done some magic for you today. If you have a question about an expression, you can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com, and we'll try to answer it. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.